I hate when people say you can do anything you want. I hate when people say you can be whatever you want. I hate when people say there's someone out there for you. No, there's not. And no, you can't.
I'm just so tired of the fucking complaints. Like, we have to, one, acknowledge what we're fucking up in order for us to be able to, like, get to the next step from where we are right now.
I've never been disciplined and got an actual result from being disciplined. So why would I be disciplined in a marriage? Why would I be disciplined in a relationship? You have never had success being disciplined. You had never got something from being disciplined. So you now want to be disciplined for something that is the hardest thing probably known to man? To be committed to another person and unite soulfully, spiritually, physically, financially, but yet you have not ever been aligned with anything else a day in your life.
Hey guys, welcome back to 8 at the Table. Today we have an interesting topic. The topic for today is modern dating preparation for divorce? But before we get into today's topic, we have myself, Amanda. And we have myself, Erin the Renegade.
Hey guys, it's myself, Jada. Back again.
It's thyself, Hundo. Nice to see you again. So today's topic, hello, what's going on, Instagram? So we actually have a video that we're going to kick it off with, but for those of you that don't know what the topic is, I know we did have Lonnie tell TikTok topic. It is modern day women?
I also just said.
Did you?
I did.
Oh. Well, for those of you that didn't hear like I didn't.
Lonnie, oh, you heard me, right?
Definitely heard it.
That don't mean they were paying attention. They probably tuned you out like me.
I just don't know. Unfortunately for rich men, they can't help but attract women that like lifestyle more than connection. Because a woman that really values connection, she doesn't like a rich man's lifestyle. A woman that really needs emotional connection, she finds being with a CEO or being with a really successful man is hard for her. She leaves because she wants emotional intimacy. So rich men are almost left with women that love lifestyle, who will compromise an emotional connection in order to get that financial investment. And so rich men are left with a pool of women who are not as connected to them.
She's so right, man. Like, I gotta just give her a round of applause. I've been following her for the last, like, month or so, and she's always on point.
What's that? Dr. Khan? I was about to say, I've never seen her before.
Dr. Khan. He loves her so much.
Khan. I just said it like, Dr. Khan?
Yeah, I don't know, like, what she does or anything, where she's from.
Isn't she? What is she? Or
get the name right.
No, what she is. What
she Dr. Khan's primary focus is she does trauma, and she also does relationship coaching and behavioral. So maybe she's not a PhD or a PsyD. Maybe she is just a licensed clinician, or maybe she's just a coach.
But maybe she is. Why do we say maybe she's not? Like,
well, they don't have, because Alan said she's not a, we don't know.
Well, I do know that. So what I will say is the first thing I saw with her was about, she's actually said this, I think, something similar of this on this to another podcast or another interview, whatever it may be. And she specifically spoke about the Dubai men and women and the lifestyle there, which I thought was interesting because it was basically what she said here. She just made it on this video. She made it more vague versus when she was speaking about the Dubai lifestyle, she was more specific on it, but I've never been to Dubai. I never lived in Dubai, but I can only imagine that there is some truth to what she's saying about the lifestyles. And maybe she might not be speaking for, you know, the whole world, of course. But if you think about where she's at in Dubai, they have amongst the most wealthiest people and ways of living. So it only makes sense, you know, like it makes sense there.
Okay, so she was saying that there's a lack in emotional connection when you're dating someone who is, you know, busier or has a certain lifestyle.
And I think that's why it's detrimental to, like, you know, regular people, not regular people, but it's like you look up to people who have those types of relationships where the woman is living a very, you know, a very, yeah, a nice fluffy lifestyle that you want. But then that means that you probably have to be with a man that you're not accustomed to being with, and you can't, that relationship is just not going to work. So you think you want something, and then when you get it, it's like, this is not what I knew I had to sign up for.
Yep.
So I think, like, that's the most important, like, message in that is when you deal with someone that's on a certain level, it might, you might have to be a person that can be just as disconnected so that it can work.
Well, that's what she's saying is happening. She's saying that the women who are financially driven and focused for relationships are not realistically happy. No. She's saying that they're not capable of having an emotional bond with that man because their primary focus is not emotion. They're basically living and operating out of survival or out of, you know, the desire of luxury.
Yeah.
So emotion and maybe affection, if we tie emotion to affection, are not the number one priority for that woman. So if you're a man who does have, you know, this luxury lifestyle or way of living, and you're wanting that those emotional connections, you're gonna, and specifically she spoke about this in Dubai, they're gonna have a harder time finding a woman who's going to be able to fulfill that because they're really there for the way of life rather than loving the man.
And with that being said,
I'm sorry, can we replay it? Because I got something very different from it.
And I also, can I say something?
Yeah,
I also think that because we were talking about is the modern dating right now setting us up for, you know, divorce, right? I think that is kind of like, because it's something that everyone is looking forward to, like women want to live this luxurious life and they want to have a man that provides by any means and, you know, provides that lifestyle. So what it really boils down to is, did the connection ever really matter? And are people trying to get into situations that where the appearance of your lifestyle is more important than the relationship that you have with the person?
No, I just wanted to make sure I understood what she was saying.
She did speak on it in both ends, but yeah, so I think that going back to what Marie was saying with the illusion of options, right? That's what you said?
I love that. I mean, it's kind of a choice.
But like
disillusion.
Right, yeah. So, and I think that we've been fed lies in our entire lives. Like, I hate when people say you can do anything you want. I hate when people say you can be whatever you want. I hate when people say there's someone out there for you. No, there's not. And no, you can't.
No,
that's the reality, because when you live as such, you're left like, why am I having a, you know, a poor outcome? And it's really because what you think you have the choice of, is it possible? Hell, anything is possible. But the odds are like winning the lottery. And if there's, we know how the lottery works here, right? I don't know how many millions of people play. Only one person wins. But for some odd reason, it gives the illusion of hope, which is like a disease. And then people just think that they can be the lucky one too. No, you can't. No, most likely you won't. So when we understand that, then that's going to make us understand, hey, look, that woman over there, guess what? She was able to find a rich man that loves her right. Most times it's not that way. Mm-hmm. Hey, that man over there, he thought that girl was going to treat him right or be what he wanted her to be. Most likely she won't. So when we understand that the reality is the odds of what we are, you know, desired, like they gave us the paradox of choice that we can have and achieve any type of relationship, is not true. But you know, it's funny, like when I think about it with proven concept, I also feel like a lot of things have fell off. Like marriage back, if we go like, you know, 1,500, 300, 200 years ago, marriage worked because there was even exchange, right? If it wasn't the partner, it was the partner's family or someone within that family. Somebody was putting in some type of equal value, right? But now we got this new theory of marriage where it's just love based, right? Where it's like, okay, if you make me feel some type of way, then that means that we can last longer or whatnot. But then 9 times out of 10, your feelings are going to be shifted and changed for many different reasons. sometimes you only feel this way because this person can provide certain lifestyles for you. When that person loses their job or for any reason why the finances run tight, they can no longer provide that lifestyle for you. Now, all of a sudden, the way you feel has changed. But if we really go back to the foundation of things, then I think proven concept works. But at this point in time, modern dating in totality has no structure, has no foundation, and really has no real theory. We have no real studies because everybody who's really living in this modern day world of dating is probably like 21 to 29.
I think it all just goes down to convenience. Back then, it was just more convenient to be with one person and to just live your lives as a happy mother, father, couple kids home. And now it was just easier to do. It was a simpler lifestyle. And now we're just overstimulated. We're looking at this, we're looking at that. We're seeing these girls, those guys, like, and we're traveling more. You know, a lot of people that never even left the hood before. And now all of a sudden they're like, oh, I'm about to go to Atlanta. Even if you've been in motherfucking Hartford all your life. And now all of a sudden, because everybody traveling, you want to go to Atlanta.
But look, here, check this out. Proven concept that having multiple wives works. This is not, the non-proven concept, or I guess I'm going to say non-proven, but one of the oldest religions promotes polygamy. This is a fact.
Yeah, but now everything is out in the open.
No, because we are saying we're overstimulated, right?
Yeah, but now everything is out in the open. So even if a woman didn't know, if a man was a great man and leaving and going to work, but his job didn't require him to be at work for 10 hours and he could go and have another life at that time, nope, everything is not being like, you can't be like, oh, I can see on your phone that you're not at work. Or, oh, somebody just posted a video at Walgreens and I saw you in the background holding hands with some. Like, 40 years ago, that wasn't happening. So now everything is getting more difficult because everything is more.
You're missing out.
Do you guys think it's FOMO? Like, you fear you're going to miss out? Because I'm trying to think of it from an objective.
Fear of missing out of what?
So, house. You've been with this person for 3, 4, 5, 6 years. The gram is popping. Streets are popping. Like, yo, what I'm still doing? Like,
now you're like,
I'm about
boring.
To start.
That is a
now
weak
my life
individual
is boring.
That chooses divorce because they feel like they're missing out on the.
Why do they have to be a weak individual, though? Why can't people
I'm
just
married?
People's feelings,
no,
like,
but I'm married, but I have a fear of missing out.
No, not even missing out. But what if missing out is more of, okay, I'm in a marriage that's not taking me to places that I feel like I should be going. What if I feel more stagnant? Or what if I feel like I'm not able to do the things that I see people surpass? Like, I do want to be a multimillionaire. Why is it that I'm watching everybody be a multimillionaire and I feel like, okay, is it just because I'm content in my situation? It's okay to feel that way, to see everybody else progressing around you and then just feel, okay, you know what? There's something stagnant going on in my life and I'm watching everybody, you know, hit milestones and milestones. And sometimes maybe that's the reason your relationship doesn't work. It doesn't have to be because of that person. You want to leave that person. Oh, because.
Well, I was just going to ask, like, is that stagnant, like, aspect of your life because of your relationship?
Sometimes it can be. Sometimes a person can be so content and like, you know, they don't have as, like, I know that I've dated people that weren't as big of dreamers as me, or people that were afraid to just take a chance or make an investment or do this and do that. And sometimes you're with someone who's going to make the, let's just be safe. I've seen couples grow for years. I mean, I've seen long-lasting marriages and relationships, but I'm like, yo, that person used to be, that person really could have gone far, but instead they ended up taking the safer route.
But do you, hold on, I have a question, but is it like to a point where you start looking at outside of you so much that you become dependent of outside of you? Like, I think there comes a time where, okay, you might want to be a multimillionaire. That doesn't mean you're partner wants to be a multimillionaire. You know what I mean? I think sometimes we get stuck on our goals and projecting our goals into our partners. So if that's your goal, that's like your responsibility.
So do you stay with that person that you're not?
Well, no, like you don't. Like, I think that's when you take inventory and say, am I projecting what I want into my partner? Maybe that's not what my partner wants.
Those are also not after marriage conversations.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You shouldn't even be married at that point.
But why is it that, like, I mean, my thing is this. When people are in a real healthy situation, you're in a good situation. right? Your spouse loves you. They treat you right. You may not be a multimillionaire, but you have a decent way of living. And then you see the outside world, and then you bite the apple. And once you bite the apple, out of nowhere, you're the disease in your house. And now you want to be a multimillionaire. Now you became stagnant. Now your spouse isn't doing enough. And now your relationship is hindering you. But if you never saw and compared your life to those whoever else that you're seeing, you would be happy.
Can I answer that with really one simple, and I'm not saying that I agree with this, but I think the response is, when you know better, you do better. And so I think that sometimes when the haze clears and when, you know, the scales come off your eyes, you'd be like, oh, shit, I've been out here fucking around for a long ass time. I need to be doing something more. I need to be doing X, Y, and Z. So again, these are not post-marriage, you know, conversations, but I think that is like the very like easiest way to respond to that.
And my response to that response would be, no, because I've heard it and sometimes, and I agree, but my response is, it's like, I understand when you want to do more and if you know better, you do better, right? But we have to understand that more is greed sometimes. When you have something good, you don't need more. You can want more, you can desire more, but you don't need more. And 9 times out of 10, if more was really for you, you would have already been on that path. You would have already been on that journey. A lot of people lose everything chasing more, right? I'll give you a random example. A lot of people go to the casino, right? I was a heavy gambler at one point. It's not that I never lost. It's not that I never won. I actually won all the time. I hit every single time I went to the casino. The problem was I never stopped. So when I never stopped, by the end of the day, I was in the negatives. So that's how I feel like people look at life and people look at, you know, their life in comparison to... Exactly. I won every time. But I don't stop. So you end up losing it all. Because when you have enough, you never realize what's enough because you're always thinking you can get more.
After you win, you end up putting it all in like...
When you win, you keep playing. Because the winning is if you get a little bit of a reward for doing something, you're going to think there's more reward.
Give up, though?
I'm not telling people to give up.
Don't dream big. Don't strive for more.
No, I'm telling people...
The person that you're with for your own feeling.
I'm telling people, understand when you have something good and understand what you don't have might be for your benefit. And when you understand that, then people might stop. I don't believe in dream chasing if you wasn't a dream chaser. Like, you just don't turn on the switch and then risk everything. Now, sometimes it does work, but again, very, very, very few people make that work, make that transition. Most people fail.
Do a lot of different things.
So going back to the initial question, I think you posed it, Rico, one of y'all, about marriage and like, are we going down the wrong path thinking that it's a love thing? I think what the proven concept is having a commitment to something. And I think the something is the marriage, not necessarily the person. So it's like, okay, we're going to agree to be partners for the rest of our lives, right? And so you're not necessarily committed to that person. You're committed to being in a partnership that includes that person. So I think that is what the proven concept is. So it doesn't matter. So it could be, you could be in there for feelings, for money, for support, for, you know, to have a trophy wife, whatever, you know, it could be for any reason, but it's about being in the partnership. And so I think that's what the proven concept is, because we all know that feelings fade, love fades, sexual desires fade, all of that stuff. So
it goes away.
Money's not there. So all these different reasons that people may enter into a marriage, all those things can change. So that because you've predicated your involvement in that relationship on those different things. But if you predicate your involvement on being committed to the partnership,
I think it's very different. And I think that's what the proven concept is.
And I agree. And I actually meant to tap onto that part in a way before when I was speaking about what you said. But realistically, the proven concept back in the day when we talk about marriage back then was equal investment. So investment commits you, right? And I think that's one thing that we realize. Like, I feel like nobody has anything. That's why we could fall in love and out of love easily, because we have nothing to lose. You don't have anything to lose. I don't have anything to lose. When you have something to lose, you would treat that relationship differently. That's why people have been married for years for the kids. You know why? Because both parents do not want to surrender time with their kids. When you have marriages that are, you know, rocky, but they have a lot of investments together, they stay in together because also their investments. I think that commitment is usually with some type of tangible or maybe even intangible investment that both has had to put in. And I think we don't have anything. You got people who are getting married who has not a dollar to their name. You got people getting married that have never had an asset, neither has nobody in their families. And then next thing you know, they're like, well, if I do strike something good, I'm leaving with more than I came.
Or would you say that time is an investment?
I don't think that
I spend in my head like this.
Time is not an investment. All right. So time is an investment. Time is an investment. Don't get me wrong, but time is not a binding investment, right? I might spend 10 years chasing this goal, but if I don't get this goal by the 10th year, I'm going to chalk it up and I might take a different route, maybe something similar, but I'm not going to keep on beating the dead horse. Now, when I have a actual investment that's binding, yeah, like my child or my house or our houses or shit, our image, our social reputation, that binding investment will keep you way easier than time. Don't get me wrong, people do stay together, like I've been with them for 10 years or 5 years and I don't want to wait 5 years, throw 5 years away. But eventually, at this day and age, I think modern day dating, we don't care about how much time we spent with this person. I feel like that's an older concept. Like, I don't care, I spent 3 years, guess what, tomorrow's a whole new day.
And time is something that people don't value until it's gone. Time is so upfront,
which is really weird.
Yeah, which is crazy, right? It is the most valuable thing that we have, is time. But most people don't value time till later, right?
I just don't want to put my time in somebody else's hands. That's where my fear would come from when it comes to
me. Yeah, when you said that you'd have nothing to lose if it doesn't work out, I wasted time.
Yeah. That's
because, think about it, right? No offense. But if we compare where you two are at right now in terms of what you said, you wasted time. We go back to the proven concept of successful marriages. They wasted land, not time. Time, your time might come and your time might go, but that land has to go to the child. It has to go to the grandchild, so on and so forth. That land, that asset, that property that they own and that they combined is going to last longer than your time. And when we see the bigger vision in that, then we'll understand, okay, my time is not nowhere near as important as our assets, especially if we're trying to build generational wealth.
I have a quick question. Like, when you guys say wasted time, what do you mean? Like, let's say you're in a 5-year relationship, right? You had great times in the relationship. Rue, you progressed as a person. There were great things that occurred during that time. It wasn't all bad.
Yeah, but you didn't get relationship the result.
Yeah, I understand that relationships don't work, but it doesn't necessarily mean it was a waste of your time. You can't say it was a complete waste of your time.
I don't think the word is waste. I think the word is it was an investment of time for which you can never recover.
Like, if you your objective
and the outcome with,
like, what was your objective, right? Like,
okay, so say your end goal is marriage and kids,
right?
And you spent 5 years with someone and that wasn't the end result. So now you have to take some more time, do some healing, get over that heartbreak and get to know somebody else and get some time in with somebody else before you can make that an end goal in that relationship, that
no, I know, but I think what ends up happening, which I've seen occur with a lot of people with the mentality, I don't want to waste time, is that you end up wasting money. Because what ends up happening is you end up getting married and then you end up getting divorced.
More time.
And then, so do you see what I'm saying? With the idea is that, hey, I don't want to waste time, which is okay. I understand time is
I'd rather waste
valuable.
Time than time.
But what ends up right. like...
You're wasting more.
There's a reason why divorce is at the rate as it is. So because you don't want to waste time, you end up spending money and emotional just exhaustion because you didn't want to waste time.
Now you have more time.
Like, so
no.
Do you see what I'm saying?
No, so you wasted more time.
Like, the objection is married. I get it. You want to get married, but do you want to get divorced?
Exactly.
You don't, right? But you end up getting divorced.
But you don't know that.
Yeah,
but you don't... But I think...
Ain't that what Richard said?
Yeah, we ain't supposed to see...
I think that's part of the problem. And, you know, I can't speak for myself, obviously, but I can speak for like a lot of people that I know and my friends, is that sometimes the time ends up happening where you would like, okay, now like I'm 35, like I don't want to waste time. And I'm like, cool, but you're going to marry the wrong person.
So that's why.
Because you have that mentality that I've wasted.
Then I'm going to 40 and
agree
with that. I'll get pregnant. Wait, and then guess what? Then I'm going to have to dig into my savings and get a surrogate. How about that? How about wasting time and money?
I'm going to tell you why I don't agree with that, Maria.
So why put everything into 9 years? You have 2 decades to get the right person and you wait and you only...
When you focus, when you're focused and you don't want to waste time, it's like turning 25 years old. You're like, yo, I ain't got time to be wasting, and you get focused. Some people, when you turn 30 years old, you just like, and sometimes from 30 to 35 is your most focused years. Do you see what I'm saying to you? Is the most time you're focused in 30 to 35. So sometimes you could turn 40 and you're like, listen, I don't got time to waste. I think that you did.
I'm sick. Recipe. I ain't got no more.
For real.
In a sense, it's like, I feel like when we're talking about people are dating with the concept of divorce as the probably first option, right? So it's like when people say, hey, when you fight, don't walk away. And somebody's like, well, let's communicate. They're like, no, when we fight, I always walk away. I always do that. But the thing is like, especially I think in our community, it's like, it's so okay to do the most things that are not going to work over time. And the thing about it is like, we have the data and the proven concept. We have 40 years of data of what works and what doesn't work in relationships.
That don't work.
So if you look at some, like, so for example, right?
Like ski eat don't work.
Everything has a kind of an expiration date in a sense, right? Man or woman, doesn't matter. Can't be in your 40s in the club every night. It's a proven concept. It doesn't work.
You be at the club.
I was about to say, you be at all the love conversations.
Yeah, I've ever let him catch you in the fed hold on. Be outside, Alex.
8 steps. Like, Mike, stop. Yeah. Okay, hold on.
Face. Look at me. Look guilty.
I don't even be in the club.
You
be
stop using the club wires. Like, most women in their 40s are not in the club, bro. Just because you have... I feel like I hate when people use the exception as the rule. Just because you have 2% of women doing something, all of a sudden, 98% of women are responsible for it. Like, bro... You don't want that as a man. I don't want that as a woman. Most women in their 40s, they're not trying to do that.
They don't meet people because they be in the house.
Hey, bro. Like, that's the problem.
Like, no, there's a lot of
people saying the exception.
Duh.
What do you think about that, Jada?
There's a lot of good women that are just, they're not it right now. So you guys are just looking over them and they're not getting married. And it is what it is. It's not. You're picking the girls that are outside of the club and then mad that they're outside of the club.
I don't see them getting married at all. There's only 2% of them getting married.
The thing is, you're overlooking the ones that you should be marrying. That's not nobody's fault but yours.
No. Because the thing is, I mean, if we go...
You want the baddest bitch.
We don't want them, We just...
Wait, y'all always bring up the club, right? Because you go to the club one time and you see bad bitch, right? You're not going to talk to her because what? You assume that she be here every night? No, you came here just like she came here.
Yeah. You might still love her. Yo, listen, because the thing is, you start getting the real reports.
Oh my.
And when you get the real reports, you be tight because you be like, I love her and I wasted time.
Okay, reports. Talk is the new girls. Women get the same reports. We know all the stuff. We know every little thing.
Yeah, but we don't care.
We gonna stick aside.
Y'all care. Like,
if bartender gonna tell me your ass be in here three times.
Sometimes you just
three times a week.
Fine.
Yeah. But that's the problem.
You talk to all the girls.
So do we all? So my question is, do we have? I'm gonna say we as in us, like here.
Who the black?
But I'm just saying we as in people. Do we even have something worth to exchange?
Right.
Like, what do you have that's worth to exchange other than your time? Because when I'm investing the same amount of time as you, that has already been equalized. Outside of our time, when we start to understand, okay, I'm investing this, and this, and not just my time, then you can understand, like, all right, this is something that I'm really going to be committed to. But once you... I feel like nobody values time the way that we know how valuable time is. We don't value it. Yeah.
You know when time is a waste is when one person in the relationship is investing their time into the relationship and the other person is just nothing for them.
They're along for the ride.
Exactly. They're just along for the ride. So it's easy for them to be like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. And one person feels like their time has been wasted.
And then that's why I'm saying,
because you're not committed. That's what Aaron was saying. If you're committed to this relationship, then.
But you have to realize that that's only happening because the only thing you have to invest is time. Like when you understand.
I see what Rico said. I'm sorry.
I'm just using time as an important.
But I'm saying if you are giving.
I'm not saying the only thing.
What Rico is saying is, and I want to get to this, right? And this is no disrespect to time, because thank you, Lord, for the time. Thank you so much for the time.
I'll do without it.
Appreciate it, right?
I don't know the way y'all talking down on the shit.
I'm like, what?
But it's an equal.
It's a real one.
No. What Rico is trying to say, let's be pragmatic for a second, right? Let's be practical. Just listen to where I'm going with this. We do know time don't play with nobody, and we're grateful for the time that we have. But people treat time like a non-valuable commodity. It's a commodity. It's important. What Rico, I think, is trying to say is that what's wrong with going, I'm going to be a little bit off on this, but I'm going to say it like this. What's wrong if you're dating somebody that you see you could go somewhere with and you say to them, yo, what could we build together? It's almost like if I'm doing business, I got 100,000. My boy's like, yo, come on, let's get into this car business. I'll be like, I got 100. And then he's like, well, I got the connection with the auction. Okay, we could build something together. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So what could we, like, most of the times, I think that when couples get together, yo, y'all looking dead at each other in your face and y'all know y'all can't build nothing.
Exactly.
Like, there's nothing to be built.
First of all, both of y'all don't have a skill. Like, why do we act?
That's why I was saying
don't now.
That's why I was saying don't waste your time.
Why do we act like automatically one person comes with the skill and another may not? Or two people come with a skill. There are plenty of time where you both don't have the know-it-all nor the skill. That happens from it.
The startup money.
I'm not talking about how it turns out, but like if we're talking about like real life, let's talk about real life. Most people don't have the skill. And why is it that we all have to like be an entrepreneur or build? We get an investment. Sometimes you have...
about building financially.
Hold on. Sometimes you have a great... job. I have a great job. We can
bank.
Like, dude, why do you always have to go into
money?
Yeah, wait, Marie. I think I'm missing the point. The point is this. The point is this, right?
Because the masses don't necessarily have that skill.
But that's what I'm trying.
You could take money completely out of it. Take money completely out of it. Okay, you got two rich people or two. What can we build together? We could build a family together. We could help people together. We could.
I love how we act like most people are walking around with a great insight into themselves, great insight into conscious awareness, and a great insight.
They're watching Hate at the Table, and hopefully,
yeah, we can tap into that. But what we're not gonna do is act like everybody's walking around just conscious.
But no, the problem. See, and this is the issue with modern day dating. The issue with modern day dating is this. Again, nobody has anything. That's it.
Right.
You don't have anything valuable, whether it's a tangible or intangible, which is why marriages are failing, in my opinion. Before, if we look at the proven concept of history of marriage, there was a trade-off. In some cultures, there's still a trade-off. And sometimes it's monetary, sometimes it's an asset. So, and when you
can you give us examples? I just want to make sure.
For example, right? If there is not, well, so for example, let's say if you are someone from Saudi Arabia, this is something that I know.
Let's talk about America.
But that's what I'm trying to tell you. The difference is theirs is lasting and ours aren't. And it's because we don't have anything. Everybody's here walking around freely. Look, so look, if you want to marry this woman, right, you might have to pay the father X amount of dollars. If you want to marry a girl who's, let's say, a Saudi Arabian woman, you might have to pay the father X amount of dollars. And depending on how much money you make, you might have to pay more. Or the opposite would be if she divorces you, then he, the father, has to pay that money back. There's a trade-off. There's something to lose on both ends. Now, maybe that woman might not have anything herself in terms of a monetary value, but the trade-off is the money that's being exchanged up front. Now, if that, I highly believe that if I'm a guy and I'm spending this money, regardless of it, just to get this woman from her father, right? I'm going to treat her way better than if I got her for free.
I have a question, Rico.
Like, if I just walked in the club and got her, like, there's no, like, how well do you think I'm going to treat
leave the club?
Yeah, I spent club. $50 on, but like,
this is why I asked for an example and why I asked for an example with respect to over here, United States, because people over here can't even conceptualize what you're talking about. Of course, we have friends with from other cultures who they pay bride prices and whatnot, but over here, those are anomalies. That's not the general population here. So what I'm saying here, how do we explain this same concept, but with respect to our American ways of life?
I mean, what I would say is you have to have something to put in other than your time. The thing is, I believe we go into relationships thinking that our time is more valuable than the other person's. If this was a game, a basketball game, and let's say we're playing for money, you have one person holding the money, the purse, right? I put my $50 in, they put their $50 in. We're both at $50. That $50 that we both put in has been equalized. That is time, right? We both lose. If we tie this game, which means nobody wins, we both lose our $50, right?
Where's it go?
Let's just say, I don't know. Or we both get it back regardless, right? But there's no win, there's no lose. It's an equalized investment is what I'm trying to say. It's an equal investment. So when you say you don't want to waste your time with 5 years, but the other person has 5 years of time in too. So now when I understand that this...
I'd say they didn't lose anything.
I know that, but we think of it as a personal thing. But the problem is if they think of it as personal and I think about it as personal, there's nothing else that's binding us. So once I feel like this time is wasted, I'm out. But if I have something else, let's say if we have an asset together, let's say if we have kids together, let's just say if we have, you know, let's say status, like, for example, like Kim Kardashian, Kanye West, right? Well, we know, but we already, that's a whole different issue. But okay, Beyonce and Jay-Z, right? They went through things that if somebody said, I stayed with my man or woman for cheating, then they would be like, oh, you're dumb, you're a fool, but everybody still idolizes them, right? Because they have other things that are invested other than time and love. You know what I'm saying? And when you have a bigger picture, you have more to lose and you've equally have poured into your relationship. It doesn't have to be the same way, but it has to be the equal amount, right? Then you are going to be binded to your commitment. Other than that, we could just build again. Nobody feels...
Just to circle back to what you said, Aaron, because I know you're very solution-focused. And when you're talking about like why certain marriages don't work, because I think a lot of people stop making things about you. We get fixated on our own feelings and how we feel and how it's about me and me, me, me. You made a brilliant point where you said this relationship is about the marriage. The marriage in itself is an entity that we have both committed to. So when you move away from the concept of it's about me, so if there's a business that we have and we both decide that we're going to put our all in this business so that we can have it successful, I guarantee you, you give your all in that business because you think you have a monetary gain. But if you view, if you switch that in terms of the relationship, like we're both committing in this entity, it's going to shift the way you view your relationship because you're moving it away from me, me, me. This is how I feel. This is about me and me, me, me. This is not about me. It's about us, and us is the entity.
I feel like I learned something.
But what happens with my question for you, Marie, is what happens when, and this is just natural now, what happens when one person is feeling like they're the one that's more committed to the marriage?
That's always going.
Yeah.
Like that. Like that's the thing that people don't understand. When you're in a marriage, there's always going to be a time where one person is going to feel like they're pulling more weight than the other. That's going to happen. The key to that is communication, because you don't want to build resentment. Do you see what I'm saying? Like when you feel like, hey, I feel like I'm carrying a lot of weight, and which is fine. There's times that I might have to do that. But when I'm carrying that for a long time, that's when I know it's not sustainable. So if it's not sustainable, I need to communicate with you because I can't carry this for a long time. I can carry it for a little bit. And I'm going to let you grow in that time. So I got to carry it so you can grow in this period. And there might be a time where you might have to carry it so I can have my period of growth. But part of it is having that communication with each other.
You don't think that the, you don't, so I think that on paper that looks good. But
in real life that
but,
looks good.
But the problem is when you have the paradox of decision,
choice.
Of choice, right?
Right.
You're more susceptible to being a victim of it during the hard time.
And you do.
And that's my thing. So like when you're committed to a marriage and then I'm just making an example.
Right.
Let's say you have a marriage, you guys been married for 10 years. You've been together for 15, you're married for 10 years. You know, the last 2 years has been rocky. She feels as if she was the only one pouring in the last 24 months.
Right.
He steps out.
Right. Right?
Good time.
And he steps out, and he might have had a good time, maybe a great time, maybe a shit time. I don't know.
Maybe he's a bit easier now.
But no, no. So then, you know, whatever happens, I feel like it's easy. Or maybe, I don't know if it's natural, or maybe it's, you know, conditioned that the woman or the man who felt like when the infidelity came that the person was no longer committed to the marriage, but maybe they were just on that time, you know, that season,
right.
They just weren't there. But once we have the paradox of choice and one person exercises something that wasn't committed to it, and then the other person feels as if they're not committed to it because of their choice that they made, then they decide to choose the opposite route too. And then they're both of their commitment has become south off of one situation.
But that's no, we have to talk about it.
Right.
But I'm saying like that sounds...
But it sounds...
No,
but hold on 1 second. Just listen to what
I'm
saying.
Can I just apply some of my clinical?
I know.
Okay.
For you. And just add it while you're going to apply it, right?
Yeah.
No, but what I'm trying to say is that...
Data.
Sounds so good in theory, communicating and all that. It sounds great. And it's the fact is what you should do. But most people, again, like you said...
Can't.
People can't even practice that, right? What I'm asking...
No, they can't or they choose not to.
They don't have the skills
both.
To practice.
The skills?
Some
a lot of people don't have the skills to practice.
Just like...
They really don't.
That's a learned thing. How do you...
No, just like... You know, Maurice... Yeah, it's a skill. Maurice said before, people don't know how to fight. People don't know how to communicate, too.
Well, Rico, going on what you're saying, right? And this is why I'm saying that it sounds like theory. Imagine me being 27 years old and I just got married to my... 27-year-old wife, right? I was about to say 28. She's a year older than me. But 27-year-old wife, right? And I got to hold her hand and make it to the side where our relationship is going to last. We're holding hands on this journey. And this journey is full of Tinder, TikTok, ding. She wants
grabs you.
To have flash that. And I'm trying to hold her hand in reality, like, baby, just hold on. And she's holding my hand. She's like, baby, I'm trying. You understand? I'm trying. But all of this stuff just calling me. This is reality we live in right now. Like, you got, she's like, oh, my girlfriend just posted this, so I want to go there. Oh, we're going to go there. Oh, we're going to do this. And you're like, you're trying to hold her hand, and then just like, she's human, you human. Now, you getting distracted. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm about to go to Colombia. I'm about to go to this. I'm about to go to that.
Yes, it does.
So all of a sudden,
like, look.
You guys are getting pulled on all the sides, and most people, remember that old show Gladiator, they brought it back out? Like, you got to make it to the other side. Like, you got to climb all these walls.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, a lot of people can't make it to the other side where it's going to last.
Yeah, but it's all based on how you were.
Yeah, I'm so curious about this conversation. Like, bro, like, what do you want?
Avoid
can
the
you
light.
Say in the microphone.
Avoid the light.
What?
Your relationship to work, you got to avoid the light.
No.
No, it's not avoiding.
You want it to work, like,
where's some shades?
No. I have the word.
I got the and the polarized. They're polarized.
This is the thing. It's not Alan. It's not.
They're polarized lenses.
Alan.
Helps block the light.
Alan, it's not about avoiding the life. Okay, whatever. Avoid. Okay. It's not about avoiding the things that are going to deter you mm-hmm. from your holding hands on your path. What it is that you have to learn and desire to exercise discipline.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's what it is.
I was literally thinking the same
exact. A lot of people want to say, oh, what a social media this and blah, 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 this, that, and the other. Who gives a fuck? Can you exercise discipline? Because, like, you just said, people, oh, my homegirl just posted that she went to the Maldives. Oh, my homeboy just posted that he went to Colombia, X, Y, and Z. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they're doing. What we're doing is, like you said, we holding our hands trying to get through our shit. It doesn't matter what they're doing. And you have, we don't have discipline. Let's just say that. We don't have discipline.
Thank you,
Aaron. As a general matter, we lack discipline. And like the obesity crisis is the overarching, highlighting evidence of this issue in the United States. We don't have discipline. And so to blame it on social media and this, that, and the other, like, it's a cop-out. Just say, I'm not accountable because I lack discipline.
Hmm.
Period.
Yeah.
I want to go and spend 5 racks to go to the Maldives when we don't have it because I lack discipline. I want to go and fuck bitches in Colombia because when I got a wife because I lack discipline. Let's just be real about it and use the real words. Like I'm just so tired of the fucking complaints. Like, we have to, one, acknowledge what we're fucking up in order for us to be able to, like, get to the next step from where we are right now. Like,
Alan and I had this the exact same conversation. You praise discipline in so many areas of your life. If you need to go to the gym, if your finances, if someone is not good on their finances, they can't close a proper deal. If they don't know real estate, if they don't go the ins and out, you really say, like, dude, you didn't have the discipline to do it. When it comes to your relationship, you don't praise the ability to have discipline and keep your eyes on the goal and stay committed.
Like, I'm insured.
I don't think, but we got to understand that. There's discipline.
What's different from the gym?
The difference, I mean, not the difference, but the thing is, too, is that we don't lack discipline. We are selective with discipline.
That's what I said. I said we choose to not exercise discipline.
And across all boards. For example, I could say something to you, but you'll let your feelings get away in the way of our communication, which is lacking discipline to understand what I'm really saying, even though you know what I'm saying. But because in America, we were taught to say something to you in a specific way, you're going to now void what I'm really trying to convey to you.
Can you give an example?
For example, in our prior segment, when I said coming home at 5 a.m. is not going to work for me, the discipline in regulating your feelings and emotion will be able to understand that I'm not trying to control you. What I'm trying to do is tell you what doesn't work for me. But then we'll get into a debate on, like, fine, I won't come at 5 a.m., but I'll come at 4 a.m. There's no discipline and regulation in anything. Not our feelings, not our emotions, not our day-to-day life, not our desires. If you think about it, we say this all the time. Alan says it too. If I told you it's going to take you 10 years to be successful in whatever craft that you want, but it's going to take you 10 years, and it's going to be a hell throughout those 10 years. A lot of people are going to say, nah, I'm good. But then they'll go ahead and buy a $500 podcast tour course that ain't going to teach them nothing. And then next thing you know.
Oh, yeah, he talking about y'all.
It's only because he said you were going to make $10,000 in 24 to 48 hours. And then when they don't make it, they blame them and said, you weren't disciplined. It's not my fault. So my thing is nobody wants to do the work. Nobody wants to put in the work and be disciplined across the board. Yeah, that's part of the workload. But the thing is, nobody's also making anybody be disciplined. Who is the leader of discipline? We got kids that are allowed to do whatever they want. There's no discipline there. So if you're not being disciplined as a kid, you're damn sure not going to be disciplined as an adult. If, for example, there's some theories that I don't agree with, gentle parenting, you can only discipline so much. For some kids, it works. For some kids, it don't. But if you try to do one thing for everybody, it's not going to work. And the kids that it doesn't work, guess what they do? Lack discipline. And usually the ones that it didn't work are the craziest and fuck shit up. And guess what happens? And now watch this. And look, watch how it comes in full circle. And the ones that fuck shit up, guess who idolizes it? The ones who had the gentle parenting. So guess who follows the bad one? It's a whole circle of not discipline from the beginning to the end, from each side.
I don't think gentle parenting was introduced to be like one for all. It was just another way of trying to get through the kids.
Yeah.
That, you know, obviously we were brought up, I was brought up like, if you misbehave, be tough.
Right.
You get it licked. You know, and like her, for some kids, that don't do nothing. You can hit them as much as you want. They'll still be bad. Sometimes you have
to talk
to them.
Check this out.
Works for some. It's not one for all kind of concept.
I agree.
It's true, but proven concept shows that it works for most. Everyone, right? Like, my thing is this. If, true story, I coach 8 and 9 year old football, right? The first practice, I said, hey guys, do we know what discipline means? Everybody said no. One kid raised his hand. I said, go ahead, Wayne. What does it mean? He said, it means if I don't listen, I get punishment. And I said, wow, we're not talking about that type of discipline, but your parents aren't technically wrong. There's another definition. And we read the other definition together. But I tell you what, out of all the kids on that team,
Wayne
is the most behaved. Wayne is the most implementing kid ever. I don't have to tell him to do things twice.
Wayne getting beat.
No.
Wayne's fearful.
But guess
fearful.
But guess what Wayne is, though? Wayne is one of the best on the team.
Is his parents Caribbean?
I don't know.
It's a Lulu.
Oh, no.
His name is Wayne.
He's
no, you're right.
Wayne.
Right.
Wayne.
Have you seen Shotgun?
He's actually probably Dominican or Puerto Rican. But yeah, he's Latin for sure. Yeah, we get, you know what I'm saying? But the thing is, but guess what? He's already set up for success if he continues to stay at this point, because he's one of the best, well-coachable kids. But I'm just saying, like, this is just my own real life.
So you're such a pessimist.
Like, there's different variables.
We can't live.
No, they've been beating these kids.
Let's think about this for a second. We cannot. If we,
look, some CEOs are giving it. They wouldn't even.
I'm sure.
We're sticking with the outcome, right? Let's work backwards and then we go to a solution. We're sticking with the outcome. The outcome, we know what the outcome is, right? It's 50-50. You might make it, you might not. But this is reality. It's 50-50. Imagine that when you wake up in your life as a child, as you growing up, if reality was told to you, you're like, mommy, can I be anything? Yeah, it's 50-50. Right? Can I have a perfect relationship? Yeah, it's 50-50. And then you're like,
keep up with those. No, but that's not going to make.
No, I'm talking about relationship. Well, it's less than 50-50.
You pay him up with the money.
It doesn't work that way. Like, that's what people.
Talking about relationships. Just
no, I know, but you can't. Okay,
let me finish. Can I finish?
Let's just say this point. That's the thing that people don't realize. When you say, hey, your odds are 50-50, then the odds of that kid succeeding are probably 5-10%. That's what people don't think. Like, you think, oh, because I'm telling you your odds are 50-50.
You need motivation.
That means you have a 50.
It's wrong.
But he is going to be 5-10% anyways.
I'm talking about 50-50 in relationship. I didn't want to say the real odds. Like, your real odds is being very successful financially is only like 5-10%.
More like one.
Real. Yeah, that's a real.
But even the course that you take while you said false motivation, you have something to look forward to, something to try, something to attempt. It's like thinking that you're going to be CEO one day.
It's a, and I don't mean to say that in a bad way, because I battle with it all the time. I do. I battle with it. I'm serious. When you're trying to get to a goal and you're not trying to be super realistic, in my opinion, that's what you call slow denial. You're slowly denying reality. And sometimes you could extend reality, right? Not you. I'm not talking about you, Jacob.
But why can't you just...
Whoa. So what happens is that, for example, I'll give you... I'm serious. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes if I want to do something, especially if it's something that requires a lot of work and success, I'll say to myself, now you know you got to read every trade magazine.
Right.
Now you know you got to go to every conference. Now you know you got to know every crust cut in and out of this business.
Isn't it?
Right? You know that. And then I'll say, yeah, I know. But, you know, I ain't really kind of in that mood. So I'm just going to walk around and blame the world or do something else.
No,
right?
Really?
So, no, I didn't say that. No. But what I'm just saying is, like, what I'm trying to say is, like, if you know your odds, you know how to play. Like, if I go to the casino, Rico's talking about the casino, it's black and red, it's 50-50. A number is 33-1. I know it's 33-1. I know my odds. So if I know, you know, you're going to marry me and we know the odds are 50-50, let's try to up our odds.
Well, these
Yo, are... how can we get our odds to 90-10?
Then that means you both have to put in.
Exercise and discipline.
Now you both have to put in.
Well, these are the conversations that have to be in these everyone's households, because if you're not being taught that, if your parents are not together or you were being raised by a single parent, and you're not being taught, if this is not a part of your everyday conversations or you're not seeing that for yourself, then these are things that people have to learn to...
In another... Yeah, you Jada, because in a way, the reality is, let's talk like regular shit.
No,
you
but...
You know when you're fucking up your shit.
Not really.
You don't need nobody to tell.
Not really.
No, I actually disagree.
Sometimes, you don't know when you're fucking up your shit?
Sometimes you just mad and you don't give a damn about what you're saying or how you're making somebody feel. And you end up you never really knew that you had to be careful with how you communicate. Yeah. So therefore, it's becoming a bigger issue than it has to be. But you don't know how to communicate because you've never been taught.
Required to, yeah.
So it's not that you're.
Or until somebody checks you and be like, "Hey,
be there.
Please don't talk to me like
that." Things have to be learned.
Yeah. Life checks.
Healthy relationships have to be learned. So until people are ready to get to the point to do the learning part and to now say, "I want to be disciplined," or I want to be that for this person, then that's when it's going to happen. But until...
You know how hard it is to be disciplined when you haven't been disciplined your whole life?
But if you're with someone that you do...
Like, right. But you got to... But this is what I'm trying... For example, I use Wayne. When I say, hey guys, listen, whoever has the best practice today is going to get a gift. It's Prime, right? Little Prime. They're like Gatorades. These kids go crazy for it. They banned them in schools. Right?
You bringing it.
Yeah, well, no, because I'm... And guess what? The first practice...
Win.
The first practice, I gave out three, right? Wayne won one of them. And not even by me. By the other coach, because the other coach was, you know, with their individuals. But he's already practicing discipline. So when he wants something, he knows how to achieve it. Why do you think there's so many motivational speakers? It's because nobody knows...
Everybody like to scam.
Nah, there's no...
I thought of being a motivational speaker.
That is 100% the truth.
No, it was...
Motivational speakers aren't even living the lifestyle that you're...
There cannot be...
Let's go give me a church.
I'm about to go.
Guys, you know that there cannot be supply without demand.
Good job.
There's more supply for it. Just, there's more demand for it.
There's more demand for it, exactly. So if we have so many motivational speakers, it's because there's so many people who are not motivated. There's so many people who are losing. There's so many people who don't know better, so they can't do better. So what do? They turn to somebody who looks like they're doing better or seems like they know better or have credentials, so they think that they know better.
Not credentials.
Credentials.
Can't help it.
But it does help. But the problem is this, when we take into the whole, look at the whole pot, there is a lot of people don't know what to do and how to obtain what they actually want when they figure out what they want. So when we talk about modern day dating, what do you think is going to be? The same outcome. But you know what? Nobody's getting rewarded for their good doings. Nobody knows how to reward themselves as an adult. So now what happens is I don't know how to realistically give anything. I've never been disciplined and got an actual result from being disciplined. So why would I be disciplined in a marriage? Why would I be disciplined in a relationship? You have never had success being disciplined. You had never got something for being disciplined. So you now want to be disciplined for something that is the hardest thing probably known to man? To be committed to another person and unite soulfully, spiritually, physically, financially, but yet you have not ever been aligned with anything else a day in your life.
Rico, what do you deem as success? Like, what do you want out of it? You're saying that you were never, you've never been rewarded
for being disciplined.
What do you need, acknowledgement of your discipline, or is it not?
Enforcement?
Is it not just enough to know that you are self-disciplined?
No, I mean, like, I'm talking about from ground level up, right? So, for example, when I got honor roll, I got a gift, whatever it may be, right? So when I went to school, I strived to get honor roll, right? I got rewarded for it. I got rewarded for doing good. Now, in life, did I use school for success? No. But guess what I did do? Use discipline, because I know that there is going to be a benefiting thing for me at the end of whatever I'm trying to obtain.
The honor roll was a good example because you got rewarded for it.
You get rewarded, but now check it out. If you don't do good, you still get a punishment. It don't matter who you are, what age you are, you're going to get a punishment. And if your parent or your boss don't punish you, life will. So now the problem that we have is everybody knows the consequences, but nobody fears the consequences because they're so used to obtaining consequences. And even when they did good, they never obtained a real reward.
So what I wanted to say was the honor roll was a good example because you physically got rewarded. But if you were, if there was no prize, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you not still feel good that you made honor roll? Would it not still mean anything to you that you were there or that you had that achievement, even if they didn't give you anything? Because like you said, if you were bad, like if you weren't punished, life would punish you. Do you not think that life would reward you? You're on honor roll. Don't you think that being on honor roll would mean that later on, that would mean that you would get into a good college or a good high school, whatever you were entering in, because you were an honor student?
Not in third grade, not in fourth grade, the most developing years of your life. You're not thinking about college in fourth grade. Well, I'm not going to say.
Well, I didn't
know. I was thinking about the middle. Maybe you might, right?
I didn't know what schooling we were talking about.
Yeah,
we were,
but even if so, I mean, I was on honor roll throughout my entire grade school. But what I'm saying is you got something and you understood that there is benefit for doing well. Now, what happens is we started, I don't believe in it, but like second place, third place rewarding, right? So if you did lose, you had participation trophies. So all you had to do was show up. Why would you even work harder? So now when we look at it, these are just behaviors that became habits over the course of time. And then we tell somebody that, okay, cool. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are supposed to just get married and just, where's the reward again? There's no reward again.
It seems like the reward is what everybody else thinks it is. Because no, honestly, even when it comes
that fades.
To the participation award, it's like, okay, somebody else, you know, somebody else wants to get the attention that the first players, the top players are getting. And then even when you do get married and you have a successful relationship, you want everyone to look at you like, oh, they did it right, or they're doing something right. Or with anything you do, like most of the time, if there is no other reward, the reward is feeling like you're winning in life in some kind of way.
Can you look at it another way on the participation trophy part? Like, for example, if you're with your wife 10 years and successfully working your ass off, then this guy just meets a girl in 3 weeks, he buys her a Birkin. Mm-hmm. Then he buys her this. Like, it's like, damn, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. So now she's looking like, damn, 3 weeks? Like,
right.
Yo.
Exactly.
And then I got 10 years in. And then the same thing with the guy. Like, oh, she did this. She gave him a threesome. And, you know, they just been together 3 months. And it just regardless of whatever the concept of it is, it's sort of like, it's just comparing watching other people. And then I think the solution.
That's what's really what everything's about. That's
problematic in itself.
But nobody knows that this is now. This is the worst time because nobody is able to mind their business. Everybody literally is just. It's a big competition, and people are competing for nothing. They're competing.
It's really nothing. That's nothing.
But that's what we were saying, Alan. That's what we were saying in the very beginning. Like the first look. So when we said it the other way, it was. So what are you supposed to do? Give up on your dreams? And it's like, no, don't give up on your dreams, but understand you got something good. This person, yeah, they got a Birkin bag because they shook their ass and said,
but I'll do something different, though. So this is my thing. And something else. Like, I just don't feel like somebody else's feelings should make you not want to keep making the best of your life. That's it. Like, I want to keep making accolades and doing things that I've never done. And I don't ever want to be a content person that does the same. Like, some people are okay with waking up, going to the same coffee shop every day and being like a creature of habit. I am an individual that has difficulty. Everybody is not like that. There's a bunch of different kinds of humans here. So when I said that, I was just saying that I'm a person that loves to grow, loves to do more, loves to see more, loves to travel more, loves to do different things. So whoever I end up with has to be a person that matches or even supports that side of.
But do you know what out of sight, out of mind means?
It's not about what other people think. That's just what.
No.
What other people think. I have a question for you, right? Like, with, I'm trying to stay on Aaron's vibration or solution, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that I've learned in anything, whether it's relationship, business, mostly business, but anything in life, right? The first thing to know is what you're up against.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say we're producing a show, right? So we're in production. But you don't really know what you're up against because Netflix produces. There's a bunch of other producers on YouTube. HBO produces. You've ever been on one of those sets? You ever been on one of those? And when you go on one of those and you sit there and you talk to these producers and you walking around, you're like, oh, this is what I'm up against.
Right.
Did you see what I'm saying? I took my 15-year-old. He plays basketball. We went to Princeton. The whole country, is in there, his age group. He's like, oh, okay, that's what I'm up against. Because I don't want him to think that just his, because he wants to get to that goal, yeah. You need to be in a room so you could know what you're up against. That's all I'm saying. It's not about being delusional or people killing your dream. Yeah. It's about a lot of us keep moving forward, chasing something and pretending we don't know what we're up against.
Right, but it's also like when you are an individual that has a certain talent and then you need the right manager. One manager.
I'm talking about on a relationship.
Right.
What I'm trying to say is like most people, when they get married, they don't really know what they're up against. They don't even have a clue of what you're up against. But they do have a big wedding. They got a nice ring. They got everything. And then when they find out what they're up against, I think that's when they're like, yo, I quit.
And that's why I'm saying figure it out before the marriage part even comes. So if you are with someone that you can figure out, okay, this is not going to be something that matches me longevity-wise, someone who's not having the same goals or interests, I think, well, that's just where I was.
I think that's actually a good point because you mentioned about having like...
That's when the time gets wasted. Like
either being in a single parent home or growing up in a dysfunctional family. If you don't see it,
right?
If you haven't lived it, and if there's no one that has poured into you, talked to you about it, you literally have no idea. Mm-hmm. There was only one person when I got married who sat me down and was like, this is the real.
That's exactly how I feel when it came to motherhood. Nobody was sat me down and was like, you got a lot of things that are about to come your way.
You know what you was up.
You had no idea in how life-changing it was and how much work you had to put in and how much discipline you had to have and how much you had to really, like, become selfless for that position. So, you know, when it comes to even marriage, I feel like there needs to be more conversations and more, like, guidance on how to communicate with the person that you're with so that you can... you know, have something that is long lasting instead of just trying to be so quick to get married with someone that is probably not even a good pair for you.
Yeah, and just to like, I want to just tie everything together. And I think this is, in my opinion, why people need to come with more than just time. It makes discipline feel worthy. Mm-hmm. I understand things. For example, like when my girl was pregnant, right? First of all, I was already used to being a single parent. I was never really, used to being in the household with a single parent. So I never valued family as much. So when my girl was pregnant and we were beefing, in my mind, co-parenting was okay. But that's because I never knew how beautiful having a family was. So then once I got my family and I, you know, was able to take care of my family, and it blossomed in front of me and it hit me in a different way because now I understand why people fight for their family. But if I never was able to push through, I would have thought co-parenting was the solution. And it, for me, it's not a solution. So for me, you know, dropping everything else, this makes it worth it. But the same thing happens when you have two people, two individuals who want to get married and they're not bringing any beauty to each other's lives. You only bring in time and you're bringing your dreams. Time and dreams.
And baggage.
And baggage. Right. So how far do you really think you're going to go? You know what I'm saying? So we have to have some type of, you know, benefiting thing for the other person that we decide to unite with. You know what I mean? So, because again, a lot of us didn't have it growing up.
Right.
So we don't know better. So you can't do better.
I think that, and I don't even know how this would be implemented, but I do think, and especially with, you were saying this about motherhood, we really have to be able to talk to those of us, the women or men or whatever, who are younger than us, such that they understand what they're getting into. Like, you have people saying, oh, I want to be married when I'm 27. Baby, you have the slightest idea what that looks like. Oh, I want to have a kid by the time I'm X, Y, or Z. You don't know what the fuck is finna happen to you.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So I really do think the onus is on us who have been through certain experiences to, like, share that information.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like having a lick. And you don't put your friends on the list.
That's what I'm saying. And that's, you know, what I feel like the issue is.
Yeah. And I think our parents did not do a good job when it comes to that. I really don't think they did a lot of stuff.
Mom.
They let us find out about on our own. Even when it comes to simple stuff like miscarriages. Mm-hmm. You know, like women have them every day, but nobody talks about
it. Yeah.
You know, or
oblivious.
Yeah. Or when something happens in your marriage, like, you don't really know how to deal with it. You just in your little own little silo trying to figure it out, you know? I'm not saying you got to tell your business to the world, but, like, it's really up to us to, like, foster an environment where we're handing down the information that we've learned that wasn't necessarily handed to us.
Yep. I meant that, you know.
Because in modern day, why are we still figuring it out?
Because, I mean, look, I'm not even going to look. Can I? Aaron, I agree 1,000% with you. Reality is, these little niggas don't listen. So, it's all right.
They ain't got no discipline.
No, they got discipline. They think they know it all. I was one of them, right? When I was in my first rap group, I was 20 years old, and everybody was 27 to 30, so they all older, and they tell me, I'm like, I don't even know what y'all talking about. And one day I said some real fly shit to him. I said, if you knew what you was talking about, you'd be in the position you want to be in.
That was some real fly shit.
Yeah, because when somebody hasn't had success and they dedicated 10, 15 years to their craft, it hurts, right? So now, you know, granted, I am the one that just, I did know what I was talking about. But there was a lot of times where one of my closest friends, he's a little bit older, he used to be like, just let him learn on his own. There's no teaching him. He's going to learn the hard way, but, benefit-wise, I was able to teach them too, right? But a lot of things I didn't listen to. So, yeah, you're right, and I wish that we did have somebody who we trusted in, right, to tell us, because everybody else, you know, they try to tell us, but we don't listen because they don't have the credentials. They don't look like they have won, right? Or they seem like they don't know because they don't live the life that we want to have.
Yeah, but sometimes you really got to experience things on your own to know for yourself, because, I mean, it is kind of true that you feel like you can tell older people, like, you don't know what you're talking about because times have changed. What you probably would have went through when you were in my position how many years ago is not the same thing I'm going to go through because times have changed and I don't have to go through what you went through. Like, things have become a little easier for us. Depending on what we're talking about.
Yeah.
No, but not everything is the same.
Just being in a healthy relationship without being financially blessed, like, in a sense of having an abundance. Like, I think that as there's nothing wrong for striving more, and I'm not against bettering your life, your family, and your household, but do not get consumed by the light of everybody else that's living these lives, because then next thing you know, you have people like Shannon Sharp, people like Drake, people like Future, who can't tell you why they're not married, who can't tell you, who can't. Drake was trying to say, I don't know, I'm going to get married. I would love to get married, but I can't, because moral of the story is all these men that I named, those three men that I named, they are big role models for the community in America, right? In different ways, shapes, and forms. And when you really look at it, they still don't possess a marriage. Now, I'm not saying marriage is for everyone, but all three of them said they want it. And imagine being able to acquire every single thing in their world. They were able to acquire Hall of Fame status. They were able to acquire riches and wealthy and popularity across the world, but they were not able to acquire a marriage, and they all desire one. That should be able to tell you that if you have one and maybe you're not rich, you're still cool because you're doing something that even the people that you listen to every day hasn't done. You know what I mean? And not to knock it, but keep that hope out your household because that hope could be a kryptonite. You know what I'm saying?
But
that does not mean we want struggle love. Let's just
I'm not saying struggle love. But
let's just
form the looked up to person. Though. Why does he have to be this?
You know what bothers me? Like
really, that name.
No, it's not his name. The thing that bothers me is like, why do you? There are plenty of fly dudes with a lot of money that got swag that love their women and take care. Y'all pick a guy who is considered
Messi. What's it called? The soccer player Messi. First of all, way more important than Russell Wilson.
Is he even married to her?
Yeah, he's married down $1 billion.
Yeah, she's married to his childhood sweetheart.
I'm sorry, but
there's another big soccer player.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
They have a family, but he's not married.
Yeah, they're both Aquariuses. Leave him alone.
I love his name.
But guess what? He still gives her $100,000 a month or something like that, or $1 million a month. Yeah. $1 million a month, one of them, right? But regardless, those people get
Russell because that's the only name that I don't really be in a mix.
You know what it is? I'll be honest with you. I don't think anybody else in the world idolizes Russell besides our black community. And it was only 40% of them. And I'm not going to say what gender they are.
I don't think that's true.
Like, because I don't think people anywhere else is, I don't think anybody in Europe is like, I really love Russell Wilson.
First of all, I don't understand your.
But they love Messi though.
I didn't want to object.
What is an international
called?
First and foremost,
called role model.
Right.
I want to know who's.
Are
you serious? Are you blind? No. You think these people get rich without having a lot of people that want to aspire to be them? First of all, the key to being a superstar is having people want to be you. You cannot be a superstar without that.
That's absolutely fine. He's rich. He's famous. But do we hear what Future raps about and wants to be married? Who idolizes him?
I'm saying.
Is he a role model too?
No. But,
Did you guys hear the interview? Ciara did an interview and she was asked, how is it co-parenting with Future, and she just laughed.
Like, there is no co-parenting.
Well, first of all, she's on brand.
Yes,
Future also said that he's still fucking.
How we can bring up Russell Wilson and we were in the net.
I mean, said it in a whole song recently.
You have to see.
I still fuck on C.
Russell Wilson was the man. Everybody loved him. He had fans all over the place. He lost his status once he got with
a thought.
Once he got with her, he lost his credibility.
Yeah.
You understand? Because everybody was like, damn, bro, you just got a chip.
Do you realize what he was married to before her?
Nah.
Yeah. No, but, he was in college with her, though.
A downgrade or upgrade?
She was
she's a super downgrade.
Women don't be having shit. Like I said, it'll be bringing shit to the table. At least she has some type of status. And
well, Ciara didn't have anything either. First of all, Ciara had a dying career.
Oh, my God.
She was hopping. Well, first of all, I don't even want to get into it. We had a great conversation today. Like,
how dare you compare that man's first wife to Ciara?
Well, first of all, I didn't.
What
are you talking about?
We said I was outside the club.
I was inside the club.
The whole
baller.
The fans loved him. Everybody loved him and respected him.
He just won the Super Bowl.
And then it's just when he made
he won the Super Bowl.
It was a bit.
And that's when she hopped on his job.
Everybody was just a little disappointed and shocked.
Why? That doesn't make sense because she's not white.
No.
I mean, I don't like female players.
What's so
weird? Wait, I see the AK.
So, what's her name? B. Hanson.
Did they start being a rash?
Maybe a year. No. He was really big.
Right there.
He was really big.
I understand what Ciara does so wrong. That's so crazy.
But the thing is, because you know why? Listen.
What does Ciara do to anybody?
I'll give Ciara the kudos. Ciara is the only. Ciara is.
She's a beautiful black woman, I'll tell you.
Ciara is the only thought to have the perfect transition.
Why do you call her that? What the hell?
Is
Ciara not a respectful black woman?
No, she's not. No.
She's a thot because she had a baby with.
Forgot her whole past.
Look.
Over and over every single year for like 10 years. Like from like 18 to fucking 26 when she got married at 27.
It was the one. I know Bow Wow and Bow Wow.
No, she had Bow Wow. She had Future, 50 Cent, Trey Songz, Amari Stoudemire, Cam Newton. She was just bouncing about.
Everybody still loves her.
No, not everybody.
The good ones.
Well, first of all, don't talk about him like that. Like, he got me mad because it's my birthday. I don't know.
What actually is.
You can't compare.
Has a career.
You can't compare Lori Harvey.
And Lori Harvey was raised by.
Lori Harvey just, honestly, she just had a name.
Now, like
it really ain't her daddy.
Right now. I'm not capping. I would think about it.
Fuck it. My name is Aaron Kardashian.
So you about to get a lot of money. Just give me a couple mil.
That's what Harvey did.
Well,
put me on
it
the
was,
episode.
Yeah.
You love to predict yourself.
That's what her mother did, too. Her mother was a queen pin.
But her mother married a man.
No, her mom is a G. Her mom is an old.
It's still her husband. Lori Harvey could literally just be Lori Jenkins.
No, she could not.
She could be Lori Smith.
Yes, she is. That ain't her fucking last name. You said, because she said she just got a name, right? Sierra actually has a career since she was, what, like 16, 17. So
what is the difference?
She's done a lot. Like, y'all tried to make...
is this your preference?
Okay. Well, yeah, just say it's your preference.
Hoes need love, too.
All I'm saying is, before...
All right, she's a hoe. She's a three. Let me know she's a hoe.
If you're like, damn, that's that move. That's all it is. He could have... Yo, he had his pickings.
Yeah.
And he picked her.
Of course. You seen the... Wait, did you see there's a girl right now? There's a girl right now who got... Yo, look, there's a girl right now who got three baby fathers, all, like, newer basketball players, I believe. And they're like, damn, she just keep getting these young boys.
Because what you're saying is not even reality. Y'all act like y'all so, like, oh, we hate hoes.
No, I'm not saying we don't hate them. Nobody said we hate them. You don't hate hoes. Hate and respect is different. Like, I like to play. I just know.
Yeah, we're on a tangent. We got to go.
That's because y'all get so emotional about Russell. I try to tell you, white people don't care about Russell.
Honestly, when
anyways, that was such a great episode. I mean,
that got so excited about Russell Williams.
And started insulting women.
Who got it? Who else got crunk about him?
Y'all voices raised. Hers did, and then hers followed.
Today, if their relationship could survive, they will prove everybody wrong.
Okay.
And that's what we need.
Seems like they are
proving people wrong. We need more couples. And I agree with Aaron. We are on our solution-based journey. And we're telling y'all right now, as y'all listening to this or watching this, get yourself together. And when you do it, your relationship, keep yourself together.
And discipline is key.
Did Ellie?
All right, guys. It's been really interesting and fun having this conversation. It's been a really long night. But I think all in all, we all realize that the most important thing is having discipline in a relationship and really wanting to get shit done. Anyways, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you like and subscribe, share to all your friends and family, and, you know, join our subscribe to YouTube, join our Patreon, you know, join the AIDS movement.
We'll see you next
time.